Will you please pronounce your name for me again the way you say it?
Yelena.
I don't know if I could do it. How do you say it, Sarah?
Oh,
That's not fair. That's not a fair question to ask somebody. That's really rude. I understand. But she's also
no.
she's one of your best friends.
Yeah, no, I love when, I think we both love when people make the effort to say it right. Yelena taught me the trick. When you say the L sound, you like knock the back of your front teeth with your tongue. So it's like Yelena. Was that pretty close?
Yeah, that's close. And also, you want to like activate the sides of your mouth like Russians do.
Like the Russians.
Jamie, do you want to try that?
Yelena.
That's pretty
But I
good.
feel like you're just saying Yelena with a
But I'm
Y.
saying it by while also like having extra like tongue in my mouth.
Elena, Elena.
Yeah.
Just Yelena.
Yelena.
Yelena. Yelena.
Yelena. Hold on. Hold on. I want to just hear her say it again. Will you say it like three
Okay.
times in a row?
Yelena. Yelena. Yelena.
Yelena.
Yelena.
Yelena.
Yelena.
Yelena.
Yelena.
Perfect,
That was
Jamie.
pretty good, Jamie.
That was
Damn.
really good.
At the very least, what we can do is welcome everybody to the Comedy Fix who's listening right now. And I can start off by saying I am, well, I'll start off by saying I'm always with my buddies, Jamie and Sam, my friends, my teachers, my family. And then I'll continue to say, go on to say that I'm so excited about these guests. They must think I'm insane because we don't know each other very well. But the interaction we have had is me super fanboying over them, kind of to an extreme amount. And I'm thankful that my wife is also a fan of theirs. So it's not just me in an alley, which is where we perform. This all sounds very weird. All I'm saying is I'm super excited to have them. And before I introduce them individually, I'm just going to introduce them as their duo name. Look at Jamie's saying no because we had some issues here. I'm happy to welcome the improv duo Doc of the
Nice sidestep, Claire.
It was just so obvious.
Hello.
It was so obvious what was going on.
And what is going on, Jamie?
Chris didn't want to introduce our guests by name, which their names are Sarah and Yelena.
That was pretty good. The fact that you're attempting it, that means a lot to me. That means
Yes.
a lot to me.
We will
Yes.
always
Thank
attempt.
you.
We will always attempt and hopefully eventually succeed.
Yeah, you will.
We're super excited to have you here. This is so fun for us.
We're very excited to be here.
Yeah, we're amped. We've been listening to the pod, and not just in preparation. Before you asked us, we were
That's
listening.
true. We're
We're not fake fans, we're real fans.
I love that.
Absolutely.
I love when we have people who actually listen to the podcast then come on. Do you have any reactions or hot takes from anything that stuck out to you? And you don't have to. You can just totally say I've forgotten everything, but I'm
Yeah,
just
so you said
curious.
you listened to the show. Let's which one did you
Let's
like?
see. Let's
Let's
see.
test you real quick.
Let's see.
Yeah, this is like when I wear like a The Who shirt and somebody's like, "What's your favorite The Who song?" And I'm like, "I'm gonna fucking kill you. That's my favorite song."
You don't have to answer that. Sam, I think you've heard me mention this team, how much I like them. And I remember before I had seen them, I think it was Amanda Blake Davis, maybe somebody else was like, you gotta see them. And I think I even saw you two warming up in the alley once, and I was like, oh, no, not for me. Whatever. Like, I don't know. I don't need to. I'm busy, you know. I know Sarah's making a face, which is totally right. I'm just like, it wasn't based on the warm up. I was just like, oh, okay, I'm sure they're fine. And then because let's be honest, most of it is just fine in general in the world as a whole. And we love it,
100%.
but most of it's just fine.
For sure.
And then we were lucky enough to get paired with Heyday and Doc at the Bay for this last audition for the West Side Resident team. I'm super excited to catch the show. And Sam, I was blown away. Blown away. I'd say even inspired. And After our last show, Jessica said to me, I think this is your most unhinged heyday show. Do you think you're being influenced by Doc of the Bay? Which is wild. It's just been such a dream to watch you two play. I don't know what else. That's it. And have a great day, everybody. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. That was fun.
That was cool.
This is going to be a little bit challenging for me, just because, and maybe for other listeners who haven't had the chance to see Doc of the Bay. And so, you know, we talked a little bit about, we talked about trios in our last episode. We talked about maybe talking about duos in this episode. So it's super exciting to have a duo on to talk about their approach and what they see. And so if you met me at a party, because let's say I go out to parties, we'll just use the hypothetical. How would you like explain your show? You're like, yeah, I perform. Oh, cool. You're in a duo. Like, what's your duo? How would you guys describe it? How do you talk about your performances?
Leon, you want to take this one?
I would say, I feel like I do tell my coworkers, I try to tell them what we are, because a lot of people don't really know improv, or they know improv as like a whose line is it anyway, or something, you know, very basic. And so what we do, I feel like, is very weird. It feels like a journey, and it's just us like truly connecting on stage and not really giving a fuck what everyone else thinks.
I want to read your bio in on your Instagram, because I think, Jamie, you brought it to my attention that we kind of liked their own description, which is Doc of the Bay is the duo brainchild of Yelena and Sarah. Okay, we got through that part. And this is what I think is really interesting. Grounded in theatrical work with absurd, always hilarious, sometimes poignant improvisation. I think the words that stick out to me, I love theatrical, I love absurd. Like there's something really, and I think that's true. I think you two nailed that. Jamie, I remember you were, I think before we saw them, or you were like, this is a cool description.
Yeah, because, you know, and maybe circling back to what we had hoped maybe to mildly talk about today, which was duos. A lot of times with duos, you don't see anything like that. You see grounded, you know, as often a lot of times how duos get billed, for better or worse. And so to see a duo that was pushing towards the absurd or the theatrical was exciting to me, because usually that's where ensembles are pushing. They're trying to be theatrical in their casting and their approach to the work. So yeah, I was just excited because those are the same kind of words that Liam, you both know, and I and Chris and Sam as well, like to think about this work, only because, now I'm off on a tangent. Thanks, Chris.
Let's go.
Only because I'm tired of seeing, you know, the roommate scene and just the regular slice of life. There's certainly plenty of room for that in improv, but there's so much more. And so for people to try to push to the absurd and the theatrical is exciting to me, because that's what we're doing here, is the theatrical. And so why aren't we doing, I don't know.
Let's walk through kind of your form. I know we're talking circles around you two. Please, this is your episode. The way I would describe it, and I would love to hear your, you have probably a finer point on it, would be, first of all, I love the way you start off. I don't think we've ever done this. We've never broken down someone's show or form approach, but you ask an audience member for their name, and then you just start to dismantle that name through repetition and finding an emotion in there. And again, you can stop me. This is just what I've seen, right? You're just saying the name over and over until it drums up some particular, you kind of heighten together. You find this new zone to exist in that lands you in what the first scene might be. And then we go through a scene, whatever it may be, funny, sad, absurd, abstract. And again, we're finding kind of your quote unquote edit points, but it's even cooler than your edit points, whatever. It's just, again, finding this moment to heighten together emotionally, really connected. That's what you use the word. It's true. Heightening that into sometimes it just devolves into sound almost, or screaming or something, then landing again in another scene. That's my basic idea of what it is you do. You're both smiling, maybe laughing at me. I don't know.
No, not at all.
We like to call it of screaming because I think that like I like to scream a lot on stage. But yeah, I would say that like I have many thoughts. One of which is like, yeah, the theatrical part, I think that really comes from like where Leanne and I met. We met doing like more theatrical improv stuff that was really focused on kind of like the classic tenets of acting and stage production and you know, things like stage picture and relationship and like being really deliberate in what we were doing. And then from there, I think that like, we just realized that we kind of have this like shared love of sort of like jumping into the unknown together. And I think that our format, it has taken many forms. This is just the current iteration of it. It's not like we do one format. We actually do several different formats. But like before this run at Westside, we tend to do this when we have shows, is like we sat together and talked for like 3 hours about improv and like what we wanted to do and like where we wanted to push ourselves in this upcoming residency. And from that kind of like made this list of things we wanted. So we wanted to like, for me, like I really wanted to be in like flow state. Like that's what makes me happiest, is when I can kind of like break down the barriers between what I'm thinking and what I'm doing and make that into one thing, and also break down the barrier between me and Leanne and feel like we are one thing and we are all like flow state together, not to be too woo-woo. But we like made this list of things we really wanted. So we wanted connection, we wanted this flow state, and we wanted to be able to just like follow the fun wherever it goes. Mm-hmm. We wanted to have the flexibility to just like see something and go, oh my God, we want to do that. Let's go do that, and not be beholden to being roommates talking about our fridge. And so we made this list of things we wanted to do, and then we talked about how we can access that. Like I think that for me, form is almost like a way to trick myself into the state of being that I need to be in to do the show I want to do, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
definitely. You mentioned y'all met sort of doing more theatrical style improv. Where did you meet?
Portland, Oregon.
Rainy Portland, Oregon. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's cool.
We were a part of a theater over there. We did classes together and stuff. And I still remember the first scene Sarah and I did together. And I just knew, I felt some weird like connection towards her. And I was like, this feels fun. And then we were a part of a theater in Portland. And I just loved working with her. And I loved her style. I loved her talent, her weirdness. And just like, I felt like we really bonded and connected on stage. And then I worked up the courage to ask her to be in a duo with me. So, and she said yes. And our first show together was incredible because I feel like we were just kind of following the magic. And again, like you were saying, following the fun, I feel like that is like a really huge thing for us.
Absolutely.
So, let me ask then, so why is it that you're a duo and not a trio or a quartet or some other numbering? Why?
And if you want to be a trio, can I be the third? But please answer his question first. And then we'll
I thought you hate trios.
Yeah, I thought we listened to your last pod, you guys didn't seem to be into those. Weird that suddenly I've changed your mind. I think that for me, at least, I think it's twofold. It's one that like, I don't know. I think for what we do, duo is the right carrier of that. Like, I think that it is so much easier for me to connect with and focus on one person than it is for me to focus and connect with a bajillion people. And I also think that like the idea of duos in general, like it has like this upside and this downside, right? Like the downside is that you're always on, you can never rest. You're always like, when you're a duo, you are carrying it, and you feel the difference in that weight between that and when you're on stage with like six other people, right? And so you're like sweating more, you're working more. But on the flip side, it's also like you never have the chance to get into your head too much because you are always on.
And so I feel like for the kind of work that I am interested in doing right now, that kind of always onness is important for me. You might have noticed that like a lot of what I do at improv is to like trick my brain into doing the thing I want. And so like, I feel like Duo is kind of a vessel for that for me, but I don't know. What do you think, Lynn? I don't know.
Well, I feel like you're always on even in a group. So I don't know, like, I'm not really thinking about that because I'm like, are you just not on when you're in a group? Not always on, I guess, because you're actively listening off stage no matter what.
That is true. I just think I get like back line locked sometimes. Like I'm like, I'm a person who kind of errs on the side of like less is more sometimes. And so I'll be like, I don't know that this show really needs me. And so I'll just like hang out in the back line and then the show is over. Whereas on a duo, you literally, I mean, obviously, you and I do scenes where one of us is on stage and one of us is like off stage being a sock or whatever. But like, I think that that kind of onness is different than like a backline active listening onness.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Why do you like duos?
Me?
Yeah. Why do you like duos?
Why do you like it?
They're fun. I don't know.
more stage time. Better jokes.
Yeah, I like to be the star of the show. Yeah, I think it's the same thing for me, is like having that readiness, like always on. I think that what you were saying felt very true for me too. And also just kind of having that one shared connection is so powerful and fun to me, where I can just solely focus on one person instead of like a group mind. And it's like just one mind. I don't know if that makes any sense, but like, yeah. I don't know.
If I may, there's something really interesting about you two in that you have such like presence on stage and such like, it looks very like you're really in control. And I know you're making it up and you don't know where you're going next, but there's like this like authority to you that is really, it's kind of uncommon, or I only see in people who've been doing it for 30 years or something. Like there was a moment in the last show I saw of you two, I don't know, it'll be too difficult to explain, but I'm just watching you two take your time, not panic for a fucking second, or at least we don't see it. And I'm going like, no one's laughing. I mean, we're engaged, but like, I'm looking at you two like, are they gonna break? Are they gonna make the big move here? And you don't, you're so, maybe it's your connection. It's all of it, but it's just really different. I watch a lot of scenes, you two, you know, I see a lot of it. I'm not just like some, this is all I do. And that's been really, really fun to watch. And then I remember Sarah, when you, in one of my classes, one of my drop-ins, you're so sweet to come to. I don't know if this is saying too much, we could take it out, but like you had mentioned that you were kind of anxious in that moment and said something to the fact of like, you're anxious a lot. And I resonate with that. I'm also anxious a lot. And I don't know if that's sharing too much outside of that room, so I apologize. The only reason why I bring that up is because I was really surprised to hear that based on how you perform and how fucking so much of a, you're such a gangster in there. You know, like it's, and not that you can't do both. Obviously you are doing both. I just, there's something about you, the energy of you two. It just seems like, wait a second, how, are they 60? Like, what is going on here? Like how, is that that's a compliment
no,
there somewhere.
That's our new tagline is, are they 60?
Are they 60? Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying. I just want to speak from the heart, just like, just what I, this energy I get from you two. It's just like, whoa, it's really, really confident.
You know, that's really nice to hear, because on the way, sorry, Sarah, if I'm sharing too much, and maybe you can cut this out.
Sure, whatever you want.
But on the way to like our shows, we literally like, we freak out because we're just like, we care about it so much. And we get really nervous and scared. And like, I don't know, like we just have a lot of fear and like stage fright and all that. So I feel like both of us really like try to hype each other up and work on that. And just like taking ownership of the stage, because it's our stage and it's our time to, you know, do what we do. And yeah, I don't know. It's really nice to hear that, because I feel like that's something we've both talked about a lot, and that we've both really worked on.
And yeah. I don't think the confidence is like the sometimes I can do this, which is not positive. I don't think that, you're not like cocky. It's that you two have started this piece and you're locked. You're in. You're not, I don't see you budging for the audience, or I don't see you making these panic moves. That's what I mean by confidence, by the way. Not like you two like walk up like, hello, we're, I don't know. I don't know. I just want to clarify that it's
like
a,
we're 60.
Like you're 60.
It's like we're 60.
You know what? You know, this is hard for me because I'm also being vulnerable. You know what I mean?
No, sorry.
I don't know if this is sharing too much, and Jamie, you can cut this out, but I really resonated with your story because Jamie and I were in a duo, still are when we're in the same city, I guess. And we met in class, and just something kind of clicked in our scenes together. And then the same kind of a thing, right? Like we started getting in a room and rehearsal together and just having that like one other person. It's, I mean, I think that's the really powerful thing about being in a duo, right? Is there's like a personality match of like, oh, this person and I get along pretty well. There's also like an artistic match of like creatively, we're kind of pushing in the same direction. And I've been lucky to find someone here in Philadelphia that I'm going to do it with. And it's the same kind of a thing, right? And it's like, this is what I want to do. And this is what you want to do. And there's a nice like overlap in the middle there, but we're still our own people. And it's really kind of cool to hear a little bit of that same common experience in your origin story.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like a magical little mix of like, you both sort of like want the same thing. Like, I think that for Yelena and I, it's like, we both want to like, not necessarily go with like the zeitgeist of what's popular and exciting. Like we want to follow what we're excited about. And I think that kind of lends itself to like the stage presence that you're talking about, Chris. Like, yeah, that's not oversharing. I'm an incredibly anxious person all of the time. Yeah, my girl, shout out to my girl, she's anxious too. But like, I think that there's something about like, just really deciding that the show that we're going to do while we're inviting the audience in, and I'm not a huge fan of having like an antagonistic relationship with the audience. Like, I never want to push our audience away. I want to invite them in to follow us on our journey, but I'm also like, I'm going to take this journey whether or not you're with me. Like, and I'm going to trust that if you're not with me, like, as long as I'm having a good time or I'm feeling satisfied and fulfilled, it will be good. You know, like, I think it's just like a trust thing of like, I'm not going for the laugh. So when we don't hear the laugh at the beginning of our set, it doesn't send me into panic mode. I'm just like, all right. Like, I don't even know you're there right now.
I mean, Jamie, you spend, this is your every other week with Liam. It's, you're performing, but you're also experimenting. You're recognizing your relationship with the audience, also like having the antagonistic relationship with the audience is an interesting point. Not that you two have it, but that's, I've had that in the past. But I'm sure there's a lot of parallels here between what they're saying and what you're going through, right? I wonder if yours is a little different, Jamie, in that yours is still, I don't know if the word is more experimental, but it's, I don't know how to explain. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know either. It seems like Doc of the Bay, it feels like they know more what they're doing. And when Liam and I get on stage, I genuinely don't even know what I'm doing. Like as an improviser, not like, oh, I don't know where the show is going. I literally don't know what is happening in each moment and whether to engage the audience, whether to push them away, whether to leave the room. So to me, it's maybe it'll crystallize as we do more and more and more of these things, but where we're at right now, it feels like I got on stage, I have no idea what I'm doing. Which but I did want to because I do love duos, and to me that's really where it's at. Anything else is you get diminishing returns on a trio or a quartet or any higher number, it's diminishing returns. Because I think that with a duo, Sam's laughing, and we'll get to that in a minute.
Preposterous statement, but yeah, keep going.
Hot take.
Here, let me defend it. With a duo, just like Doc of the Bay just expressed how their origin story came about, same with mine and Sam and Liam and so on. There's this moment when you're like maybe in a class together or doing something else with this person, and like you just have like a little extra spark with that person in a scene, than you did with the other 16 people in class. There's just a little extra je ne sais quoi between you two, which is why I love duos, because they feel like this organic kind of raw chemistry on stage, where to me, I've never felt that with a trio or a quartet, because when have I ever felt this magic chemistry with two other people at the same time? Anything else beyond a duo always feels a little manufactured. Like you have to hammer the trio together. It's two people and like, let's get so-and-so on the team because they're good and they like this kind of stuff too. It always feels a little bit more manufactured than that duo feels like just the bare raw encapsulation of scene work chemistry on stage. My hot take.
No, but maybe it's just the level of difficulty rises where it is easier to just have a connection with one other person. It is more, but it is still possible, but difficult to have it with two and three and four, you know? Also, in all these stories, you all played with other people and had that spark. What about just the word duo into itself, picking two random players from any class and say, you two are now on a team. Will they forge a connection more quickly because it's just them two? Could you have two opposing, you know, is it like two magnets that are the opposite? Like, is it that duo is always better / always easier? Or is it that finding your person makes it better and easier?
Well, let me just, and then I'll open it up to the floor. But just to clarify what I'm trying to say is that I've never seen or heard of the origin story of a trio where three people magically had chemistry and they found that together. It's always a little bit more like, hey, let's get together. And then you can build chemistry or you can try to build that ensemble. Like Heyday was kind of put together and then you found that chemistry. Great. But what I love about duos is the chemistry precedes the group rather than the other way around. And I kind of like that. And I think that there's something special about that you don't get in a trio or a quartet. You can find it after the fact, fair enough. But I just think it's a little diminishing returns. All right, I opened it to the floor.
I think it's definitely harder to find that, because like also like if you're saying like a trio, right? Like person A can have a spark with person B and person C, but C and B have to have a spark with each other too, right? So like it's exponentially harder the more people you add in. But I will say that I've had experiences like back in Portland, Ileana directed this show called The Impact, name drop, sorry for exposing you. I don't know. But she directed this show called Impact that was like very theatrically grounded. And we had a pretty tight ensemble. I think there were six of us.
Six,
And that was like an example of a time where I felt an equal spark with every single person on stage, like, which was weird because usually if Yulian and I are in something together, the two of us are like magnets and we're constantly like, when I'm on stage with her, I'm like, yeah, this is it. But like in this show specifically, I think because all of us had sparks with each other, it did work out. I just think it's exponentially harder, maybe not impossible, but more difficult perhaps.
Yeah, that aligns with my experience in a lot of ways, which is, you know, it's definitely something that you can build with someone, and you can also build it, you know, as someone you're just meeting in a duo, but you can also build it with a group if you get cast on a team. I mean, I think, Chris, you brought up an interesting idea, which is like, can you just cast a duo, right? I don't think any improv theater is like, all right, we're going to make a new house team. Two people are going to be on it, which would be not great for the theater, I think. But in what I've seen with people, I do think there is something enabling about two people, right? There's a guy here in Philadelphia who does a show called Matt And. There are other shows like this where he has a solo performer, brings up someone who's never done improv before, right? I think Miles Stroth did a similar show. And those shows can generally work, right? Because there's limited number of people on this stage. When Jamie and I were in Chicago for the Annoyance Intensive, we did one day of course with a guy with sort of a clowning background. And everyone kind of brought out like a clown character, and we did solos first and then we did duos, and the duos were really popping, right? For whatever reason, two people on the stage, everyone had kind of chosen their own thing. They had no idea what the other person was doing, but you'd either get like compliment or contrast. The second you put a third person in there, it got really wonky. Mm-hmm. And so like maybe two is hard coded into our human DNA in some way, right? Where it's, I don't know, either two of the same or two of the different. And I think duos can kind of play with, when are we playing the same thing? When are we playing different things from each other? And it's just a lot, I don't know. It's simpler, for lack of a better term. I don't know.
I mean, I've seen duos eat shit. I saw some duos eat shit a couple months ago. So,
you know. Ooh, name names. I want to know. It was Who's eating shit?
It was really fucking sad because the one of the performers was a veteran improviser, and the other not so much, though a fun, nice person unto themselves. And it was the veteran improviser having to be the teacher, like having to fix every fucking thing, every fucking moment, because the other person was just falling apart. I think because what you said, Sarah, that you like being on the whole time, someone who doesn't do that a lot, I think it was they were buckling under the pressure. They didn't know which way was up. They were like drowning. I was like, oh, I need a break. I need out of here. So they're just talking. And meanwhile, the veteran improviser was having to like justify what this weird moment was and justify what that weird moment was, because the person was just like, you know, flailing. It was really, I mean, interesting to watch, but just not good to watch.
Is that like a rehearsal thing? I mean, that's the other benefit of duos, right? Is like the logistics get so much easier when you really only have to coordinate with one person and like a coach, right? I don't know. If it's not too personal to ask, do y'all rehearse regularly, or what is sort of your rehearsal process? Is it just getting together and talking improv? Because I think sometimes that is a rehearsal, right?
Yeah, I feel like we try to rehearse sometimes, and it just, for some reason, we don't feel in it. I don't know why, Sarah, maybe you can speak to that, but most of the time, yeah, we get together and talk improv. And honestly, that fuels us the most, I feel like. Just talking and exploring and also getting excited about some things, or maybe potentially exploring new ideas or something we haven't tried before.
Can I ask, what are you excited about right now? Like, what was your last conversation that you remember that stuck with you?
Trying to remember.
I wrote it in my notes app.
Yeah. Proof was that you had this conversation.
Oh, you're a fan of conversations? Prove it. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I know we were talking a lot because like our transitions, right? So like our transitions, we don't even try. They're very organic, and they come out of a lot of times out of us like mirroring each other in the middle of a scene. Like we'll just kind of hive mind, like decide, like realize the scene is over and like find something new. And that turns into this kind of abstract movement that like builds and grows and changes and then launches us into the next scene, or we stay in the transition. The transition is the scene. But like, I think the last thing I was super excited by was like, we were like talking about ways to kind of like break that down of like, so for instance, to use our opener, like we start by mirroring each other. And a lot of times that ends up with us mirroring each other's physicality and then emotion. And then we're emotionally in the same place. And we were like, can we crack that open so that we can get different paths out of there? Like, What if Yelena really draws the emotion from the mirroring and I merely draw the physicality from that mirroring? Or like, what if like the name itself is the thing that carries over into the new scene for Yelena and I carry in like the sound we were just making? So I think that was the last thing that I remember us talking about that I was really excited by, is like how to like crack open our transitions. And like, I think that's another thing that why Yelena and I work well together is because I think both of us are constantly pushing. Like, I think it would feel like hard work if it was like one of us dragging the other along and one of us is like, oh, we've got a good thing, why ruin it? And the other one's like, I want to try new shit. But I think both of us are like, no, we got to, like, we want to like delve in deeper and go harder and try different things. So that's the last conversation I remember us having that excited me. I don't know.
Yeah, the contrast thing, because that's something we've been chatting about, is like, because mirroring, you tend to just do the same thing, or like you fall into the same character or this physicality or emotion, and you're just kind of sharing that emotion, which is magical and beautiful. But we also wanted to bring variety, and like, how do we pick something different from the same thing? how do we, like you were saying, like following a different path. So that, that was our last conversation.
I love that. And I feel, it really reminds me of the type of conversations we have, Jamie and Sam, just like, I don't know how common that is. I think a lot of people talk about improv, of course, and they're on teams and rehearse, but like the specifics about cracking open an opening that already works and finding new avenues is very satisfying to our brains. I know that that's where we spend a lot of our time, is like in the fucking inside. I'm making hand gestures. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, especially the two specifics you mentioned of sort of transitions and variety, right? I remember in a lot of our conversations, it was, how do we want to transition? And we tried a lot of different types of transition, because when you're a duo, I don't think anyone wants to see a duo do a sweep edit. I don't know. Maybe someone's out there. But for me, it just seems unnatural.
I don't.
Okay. All right. We'll probably.
I don't want to see anyone do a sweep edit.
Same.
Cancel it.
That is fair. But man, variety as a duo, I find to be one of those really hard things, because like you're halfway through the show and you kind of realize the show's had the same energy. Even if you've been changing scenes, somehow the show has the same energy. I don't know, Jamie, do you still struggle with that at all as a duo, or has anyone else kind of found that variety thing to be more challenging than, say, in an ensemble when you do have eight different minds coming with eight different ideas into the scenes?
Yeah. The variety issue, I'm still very mindful of it. I definitely push toward variety, but he and I have kind of just found ourselves in mono scenes. And so we're finding variety within them, emotional variety, and then heightening and building to something absurd. And maybe it's gibberish for a while for no reason. Then it like spills back into English or whatever the language is we're speaking. So we do have variety, but it is within the context of a mono scene. I know you and I, Sam, had a hard time doing an edit, and then we would land basically in a very similar energy scene. Maybe the characters are different, maybe the emotional stakes are different, but the energy of the show felt the same. I don't know if that was, I can't remember why that was, but I know you and I struggled with that. But variety is really difficult as a duo, and therefore very refreshing when you see it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're going next, but I want to mention something. Sarah was in, like I mentioned, one of my drop-ins. And Sarah, you didn't know anybody there at the drop-in, at the workshop. And then you were on stage with Joseph is his name. And you were doing that physicality. Almost like, how would you, almost like an extreme butter churning? Like if somebody had to.
I felt like an oil derrick.
Agreed. That I was trying to, I didn't know how to say those words to somebody who was listening about the physicality of an up and down. I don't know where I'm going with this, except that you committed so hard to that one fucking physicality, Sarah. And it began to get guttural almost. Just like, just fucking, and I just think that is so special. I don't know what I'm saying or what I'm doing, anybody. Just, I watch, like I said, a lot of students. And listen, there are varying experience levels and people want different things, and I'm here for all of it. I just remember that. I remember just being, what the fuck? What? You didn't feel the need to take care of that person? Aren't you worried about what I'm thinking of the person over there? This doesn't even really, quote unquote, make sense. There's no, we're not justifying anything. It's just you in this physicality, in this activity, just repetition, finding this fucking place that was just like insane. And by the way, the person you were on stage with, Joseph, who's now a huge fan of yours, obviously, and both of yours, loved it. And you weren't like, grandpa, here's the thing, or here's the who, what, where, just going hard. He was in heaven. I don't know what I'm saying. I just wanted to say that. I don't see that a lot. I don't know what you call that, Sarah. I don't know what you call that thing, but I'm like, fuck, that is wild.
Not to touch on a topic I know y'all have already talked about in your podcast, because I listened to the episode about it. But I don't know. I feel like for me, that's like, I feel like the reason I can do that on stage is because it's authentic. Like, I don't feel the need to break away from it because I'm not, like, I don't, I'm not doing it with an agenda. And, like, the first word that comes to mind, which maybe is not right, but, like, to me, it's very defensible. Like, if somebody was like, why the fuck were you doing that on stage? I would be like, well, because it's what I needed to happen. Like, I don't know what else to tell you other than, like, and especially, first off, Joseph was a delight, and I love watching him play, and he has been cracking me up in the two classes I've had the honor of attending. But I don't know, I feel like if you're coming from a place of, like, authenticity, people will work with that, and nothing, like, even if Joseph had come in and been like, what the fuck are you doing? Because I'm coming from a place of authenticity, I could have met that without breaking what I was doing, if that makes sense. So yeah, that, I don't know. There's the secret. I just decided. I mean,
we say that a lot. We say the words you just said, though. You do it. You put your physicality where your mouth is. I don't know. That sounds fucking weird. It's very easy to say, be inspired, be authentic, do the thing, and that won't steer you wrong. Like, if you are there, then we're there with you. I just coached a team the other day who I have never worked with, and they're veteran improvisers, and they were doing kind of like mediocre work, like, felt very like time stamped, like, oh, that feels like very like 2009 improv, like, it's good, I get it, like, it's funny, and that's the thing. But I had mentioned what you just said, Sarah, because that's the only place I want to play from now, is that real place of inspiration and authenticity. That's all I care about. They were very skeptical and actually started to make cases against it. Like, well, that's good and all, but we want to have a spot on the residency. We want to get a resident, so we need to make sure that those laughs are there. But then one of the guys on the team was like, well, isn't that team called The Park? Aren't they doing that? I was like, yeah, and Talk of the Bay. These are two groups that are just chasing, following what makes them feel good or happy or joyful or whatever the fuck it is. And yet these are examples now of teams that are getting those residencies, which I don't know what Portland was like, but that's not the huge around here. And I mentioned before that LA can kind of be more like a showcasey type town, you know, where it's like laughs per minute or whatever. But you and The Park and others now, I feel like, are like examples of, like, if you do it, it's enough, it works. But there are some old timers, and, you know, that's the weird way to put it, they're not old timers, but that are resistant to that idea of, like, wait a second, me alone going up and down, that's going to be enough. But it is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we talked about, our example is when it's inauthentic, right? And we called it duck walking, because there was one scene, and, like, while you were talking about this example, I was really reminded of, in a duo, like, you have to be in charge of your own stuff, right? You can't always care about what the other person is doing. You kind of have to drive your own part of the scene. And one time we were in a scene and Jamie was kind of doing his own thing, and I tried to do my own thing, which was a duck walk, because, you know, physicality good, but it was very inauthentic. And Chris, like, just stopped the scene. It was like, what are we doing here? And it's like, I don't know, I'm being physical. terrible. It was really not good. And so that's kind of like become our shorthand for that inauthentic physicality, which I think, like, we try to force ourselves into. But I loved what you were saying earlier about the flow state. If you're in that flow state and you're physical, I feel like that's the most pure theatrical experience we can get. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Oh, sorry.
Please.
I was just going to say, it's interesting that you mentioned the, like, when you're in a duo, you have to deal with your own shit or, like, your own stuff. I feel like sometimes Leanne and I come at it from the opposite direction of, like, I don't have to worry about what I'm doing, I just have to make her have a good time. I think that we kind of come at it that way. And that feels like less work, and that feels really authentic to me. Is like, I don't know. Do you have any further thoughts about that, Yelena? Because, like, I feel like we talk about that a lot.
Yeah. I mean, like, our goal, like, if I feel like we always say our goals before our shows, but we, you know, we want to make each other look good and just focus on each other. And that is our beginning. We literally just pick up on whatever I see from Sarah. So I mean, that is our whole show, it feels like. So yeah.
It feels like almost like that's the way we access authenticity, is like not thinking about ourselves in any way. Like, how do I serve that person who's on stage with me? You know, if we're not serving the audience because we don't really care to get laughs from them or whatever, what are we serving? And I would generally say I'm serving my partner. I'm serving Ileana. And those are the most successful shows. I think the shows where I have not felt as great when I've got off stage, it shows where I'm worried about what I'm doing, rather than thinking about what she's doing and just being a vessel to react to what she's doing. I love being a vessel on stage. That's like my favorite Same. State to be in. Yeah.
Go into that a little bit more, a vessel.
I don't know. It's like a place of non-decision making. It's like entering, yeah, into this flow state where I feel like I'm not making any decisions. I'm merely picking up what's in front of me and using it. Whether that's Leanne looking me deeply in the eyes, I'm like, okay, I guess looking me deeply in the eyes is what I'm embodying now. So that's just whatever that prompts out of me is going to flow out of me. I feel like it's kind of, is it the same thing for you, Ileana?
Yeah, I feel like that's how we were trained. We were always, I feel like that's how it always been thrown at us. It's like, you're an empty vessel on stage. You're an empty vessel and like, fill it up. What you're seeing, and lead with curiosity. Like, and I'm always like picking up on everything Sarah is doing. Even if I'm not directly looking at her, I'm like picking up on an energy she's putting down or physicality she's putting down. And I want to honor it by reacting.
You're an empty vessel, lead with curiosity. Those aren't words I hear a lot in the standard improv training. When you said that's part of your training, what training are you referring to?
We're not going to name drop the theater we worked with. Sorry. There's a history.
There's a fallout. Yeah.
There's a fallout.
But it's more of like an actor's training versus.
It's the actual led improv.
With, yeah. She led with theater. And she taught us a lot with theater, and she kind of curated her own like improv. I can't think of the words right now, but like she had her own like curriculum that was genius. But don't want to name drop.
Sure. Would you say that there are, this is a funny question, are there others like you? Would you say that the people that received that training kind of have that same DNA, that same approach? Like, you know, if there's a class of say 15 or 10 of you and you're learning from this person, whatever the fallout may have been, would you say that there were similarities in that play? I know that's a weird question. Yeah. Do you kind of understand what I'm saying?
I think that kind of learning and this kind of improv like attracts a certain kind of people. Like, you know, like you were saying, you were trying to coach this team the other day and they were like not interested in this authenticity stuff. Like they wouldn't be interested in that in the first place, right? So I think that there has to be a spark already of like, oh, like doing, like beating the shit out of the game isn't exciting or fun to me. What is exciting and fun to me? And I think that like for Leanne and I, like Leanne went to school for theater and stuff. And I didn't, but we both have like this respect for theater being the basis of the groundwork, and everyone we've worked with and been lucky enough to work with in Portland, whether through that theater or on our own, we ran a couple shows on our own. They've all been people with that spark in them. So I think it pre-exists. Mm-hmm. Like anything, you're not going to like force somebody to like your style, right? They've got to kind of be into it already.
I mean, I guess. I mean, I think some people don't know they have the choice. Have either of you trained at some of the training centers here in Los Angeles? Have either of you gone through UCB or no?
No. And no, is thank
that...
you.
No, I've no taken thing. Classes in Portland that follow the UCB style. Yeah. And it just did not click with me. I don't know why. It did not work for me. And I don't know.
And like, you know, I mean, it goes to what you're saying, Sarah, like, well, like if it doesn't click, that spark isn't there, then why would I do that? But if I'm being honest, I asked you two one time in that alley I keep referring to, the Westside Comedy Theater is in an alley, everybody. And again, I don't know if I'm allowed to share this, but I asked like, what do you want to do? Why are you here? Why in Los Angeles? And Sarah, you said you want to write, perhaps writing might be part of your journey. And Ileana, You said you wanted to act. Is that?
I was like, why are you laughing?
But because I can't say your name. but so when I see, and this is me being, I don't know, older or an idiot, but when I see two young, very talented people, so in my mind, I'm like, well, surely you're going to end up at UCB. And I don't like saying that. Not that it's even, I don't know. Just feels like that might be the path for you too. Like, oh, you want to write on an NBC sitcom or you want to star in one? Well, those two things happen a lot there. Not constantly, not for everybody, but like, it seems like a path that might, you're both young and hip and cool and stuff, you know, like.
Thanks. God. So are we 60 or? Oh, yeah.
Jamie, I'm crumbling here. I'm crumbling.
You can't.
Whatever. But this is what I want to know. I mean, so that style of play might not be your favorite thing, but do you understand maybe like that there, or this is the question maybe. Does there come a time when we need to set aside what we truly love artistically for other goals? Where like, listen, in a dream world, you two are the next this and the whole show is created around you two just doing this. But is there also a version, Sarah, where you end up in a writer's room? Yay, congratulations, that's so cool. On a show you don't love. Or you've auditioned for a show that now you're in a sick, you know, like what about that stuff? Where, how much can the art and the professional stuff overlap or not overlap? I'm really falling apart here, but I hope you can find some pieces in there to help me out.
Yeah. Also, not to crush your dream, unfortunately, I should have been more specific. I have no interest in writing for TV or movies.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm a fiction writer. So luckily I have that pressure taken off my shoulders.
Actually, that's fantastic. That's really good news. That's good news. Okay.
A lot of novelists come out of UCB. A lot of novelists.
Yeah, that's what they say. Jamie Foster Wallace notoriously loves UCB. Yeah, so I don't know. So maybe this is a better question for the end because you're kind of more in line with it. So
yeah.
I just wanted to clear the record so nobody.
No, I appreciate that.
I'm glad you did. Yeah, I have thought about this and I have fought myself with this. I just don't know. I don't know. I feel paralyzed thinking about it for some reason because I feel like I'm not truly myself if I go down the UCB path because my heart's not in it. But I'm not, I don't know. Do I have to set that aside to make it? I don't know.
Well, I think there was a time when, well, first of all, the answer hopefully would always be no, but there was a time when it was a little more, this is the way you do it. But I look at Jamie and Liam, they're so heartening. They have ideas, then they just put up a show themselves and it sells out and it's beautiful and they're doing what they want to do. You know, I'm an older dog and it's been so delightful. And like I said, heartening to watch these two do that. Like, oh shit. Because some of these establishments, these institutions didn't want me, you know, and that felt like, well, then I guess the industry doesn't want me and game over. It's been really nice to see that. So it isn't, you can do your own stuff, you know, right, Jamie? You've trained everywhere and you didn't land at one theater in particular or one style.
Yeah, that's true, which is why I like the duo work because, yeah, it's easy to... find somebody, you get a coach, you get a space, and then you can just rehearse and you can control kind of the artistic direction of where the rehearsals go a little bit, which I was always interested in just doing what I wanted to do. I still am. Like I, you know, in, you know, the financial professional world, I'll play the game a little bit more, but artistically I'll make zero compromises on anything. So I kind of have drawn a distinction, like I'll play the rat race professionally to make money so that I can survive. But when it comes to like what the art there, it's unsatisfying to win not being yourself, I think.
100%. Yeah, I feel like that really resonates with me. And like, I think that there is a way to like, I don't know, like use the like, establishment things as much as they'll serve you and then leave them when it feels like they are trying to tear your artistic soul out. Like, not to be dramatic, but like I think that like there is a way to use that as a foothold without selling your soul to it. I don't think it's so black and white. I think sometimes you can live in this gray area because yeah, like I I love improv, and I'd love to do it forever, and I'd love to make a living doing from it, but I'm not willing to like teach someone else's curriculum to do that. Like I just am not. And if it never happens, I would rather happen it like it happened the way I want it to than do this like half-life thing. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as I've gotten older, I kind of appreciate that sometimes until I experience something, I don't know if I'm going to like it or not, right? So, you know, it's funny, I'll see articles. I think the reason it was like Britney Spears was like, I tried acting, I didn't like acting. It's like, good for you. Like, know that you don't like it. I think that's totally fair to sort of try something and see how it goes. But I'm kind of struck because I've known Jamie for a while now, and I'm kind of curious if, like, are duos a way out of having to be on a team to do improv? Mm-hmm. I mean, if Jamie, like, you just want to do your own thing. Like, you don't do solo work that I know, and maybe we'll talk about that in a future episode. But I'm just, like, kind of curious where there's a scale, right? And so you find yourself, like, falling more towards the duo. I don't know. Is it just like a way for people who don't have the opportunity to be on teams or don't want to be on teams to still engage creatively, collaboratively?
Yeah, I'm maybe it's just, you know, circumstances. I didn't really ever connect with three people at the same time. Perhaps that's part of it. But artistically, I've always been interested in kind of pushing boundaries and like, what's on the other side of this? And what is this? And can we break that? And there's very few people that are interested in going along for that ride. Plus, I have just zero tolerance to manage other people's personalities. So as soon as there's like, oh, I want to do, I'm like, I'm out. It's like, I that's not what I'm into. I'm here for the work. I'm here for the art. And as soon as somebody's like, the offstage is just as important as the onstage, especially when you're creating art together and it's so collaborative, it immediately seeps into the work itself. So just as a matter of efficiency, the two person group is I think the way to go for at least what my aims are, which is to kind of like, you know, examine improv and performance and kind of figure it out and think about it rather than, you know, make it to the Herald team.
I will say for Jamie, it's been a little bit now, but like I feel like your talent and your training have caught up to your I don't know if the word is sensibilities, but it's cool to see you like, no, not that. I want to do this, and then watch you stick the landing on this has been really satisfying. I know it's a weird thing to say, but I've coached him for a while, and I remember he's the first dude ever. So this is what I do, right? Talk of the Bay. This is what I do. I'm very good at it. And then I'm with Sam and Jamie one day, and I give a note, and then Jamie goes, "No." I was like, "What? You're not allowed to say no, even if you don't agree." I had plenty of coaches that told me things, a note or a suggestion I didn't want to do. And I just go, okay, I just do it. And I'll never forget that. But it wasn't aggressive. It didn't feel like the thing he wanted to do in that moment, which I had never seen before. And thankfully it worked out for you, Jamie. Thankfully you ended up being a pretty good performer after all, thanks to those rehearsals with me. Because there's also the person who's just defiant, right? For the sake of being defiant, and like they don't bring the goods. And I do appreciate that your North Star was always pointed towards at least exploring what was most satisfying to you, which I thought was great, as opposed to just saying no for the sake of saying no.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I feel like within the past year or so, I feel like, as you're saying, my abilities have kind of caught up with my taste. I had like these ideas of what I wanted to do, but I was never good enough as a performer to kind of stick the landing and to bring it home. And so they were always just like kind of intellectual, like, oh, what if this, what if that, but like never really execute on it. So it feels like I'm starting to be able to like start to touch some of that stuff in a very fun way, which is exciting. And it seems like it's somewhat going well, but yeah, the saying the no to you, I am difficult, but it doesn't come from just being, yeah, defiant. I'm just, a lot of times I find that people don't quite understand what I'm trying to go for. And so I resist their direction because I don't think they don't get it, or they don't get me, or they don't get what I'm trying to do. And so I had to respectfully decline the note or disrespectfully decline the note. in order just to be like, well, just I need a little bit more space here, a little bit more space. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, he's insufferable.
He's insufferable.
It's why Sam moved across the country.
That's right, to leave. So besides the shows you're doing at Westside, are either of you performing elsewhere?
No.
No. Sorry, we're shaking our heads like people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, we're not.
And so what are the things you want to do? What are some of the goals? What are some of the things you're here? I don't know how many friends you have here, how much of a community you have here. What are these steps? What does this look like for you? Just in general.
No presh.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like in improv, my goal is to really double down on Dock of the Bay. This is also like the first time I feel like in a long time that Dock of the Bay has been the only outlet of improv I've had. I think it's just because we were lucky enough to move down here at the same time. And we're still kind of like trying to like grow those connections in the improv world and like seek out people who are interested in the same things that we're interested in. And I think sometimes like I feel like that process takes some time and I'm not particularly in a rush to do it. Like, I'm not going to force it if it's not happening. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of goofy. We moved down here a year ago, pretty much, on the dot. And my goal in moving back down here was to avoid seasonal depression. So I don't know that I had any professional goals in that arena. It just so happened that LA has a great improv scene, and so I'm allowed to continue to do the thing I love. Right. But I don't know, Yelena, you moved here for an actual reason, so...
I mean, yeah, but I moved out here to explore more opportunities for acting and definitely keep improv in my life. I also want to try to figure out how to do it for the rest of my life, or I just have it in my life. I honestly did not expect, for some reason, not like dissing on us, but I didn't expect for Dock of the Bay to be as successful as we were right now, like for people to even like us. I think moving down here, we were like, oh, we're not LA scene and we're gonna be out and everyone's gonna be like, ugh, this is weird. So I'm really surprised by the reactions we've got and I'm really pleased. And so I'm riding that wave currently. But yeah, I love creating. I love collaborating and I want to be around creative people and people who feel inspired. And I just feel like I wasn't getting that in Portland. Not to say that there aren't creatives there, but it just wasn't buzzing all the time. Mm-hmm. And here it's buzzing, but I'm still trying to find my footing. I'm not saying that I figured it out, but but I'm ready. I feel ready, and scared. I'll be honest.
Ready and scared. Yeah. It's funny that you say you are like a little surprised at like the whatever success, popularity of Dock of the Bay, because I can see that in your faces when we speak, which is not a lot. Occasionally before the shows, I can genuinely see it in your eyes of like, not like, oh, little old us. I don't, not like that, but there is this little spark of like, wow, this is, it's a little surprising that this is popping for you. I'm just saying, I feel that rather than just like, well, yeah, we're the best, so of course you like us, or like we knew. There is this, and I really appreciate that about you too. It's, I don't fucking know. I can't talk with you two. It's fun to see. It's fun to see that. And it's also, it's crazy that I get tripped up, Jamie, Sam. I know I seem like an idiot. It's just all of those little things, the you not expecting it, the tapping into what you genuinely love about the work, the connection with each other, the vulnerability, the commitment, all this stuff. It's like, that's all the stuff I always hoped would make for good work. And when I see you two do it, I can almost get emotional. It's very, again, the word is heartening, like, okay, because I didn't do it this way. I white knuckled it for 25 years, trying to be a good boy and doing it the way I thought they wanted to do it. Sarah, you said earlier, it's not black and white. And in my head, I was like, it's not. So I thought it was my whole fucking life. And for a lot of it, I was very unhappy. And so I think that's part of why I'm such huge fans of yours. It's not just the work, but just like how you approach it on and off the stage. It's just really beautiful. And I'm just so thankful I get to be in your orbit for a little bit. And then, you know, I'll leave you alone. You guys can do whatever you want. But
please don't. We need friends.
Yeah,
please don't.
We need friends. Please be our friend.
All of you, please be our friends.
Yeah, please.
That's very sweet. Yeah, I think, like, number one, thank you so much for saying all that. Yeah, like Leanne was saying, like, in Portland, the improv scene is, I think, a little less rigid because we don't have, like, the big schools there, right? Like, I think that things are a little bit more community focused. But even there, we were kind of odd ducks out. Even there, people didn't really know how to handle us when we were in a lineup because we were just like doing weird shit and they were like, what? But we also like that reaction because a lot of times people will come, this sounds so braggy, I'm sorry,
preamble. Brag away, brag away.
But like people here and also in Portland a little bit, but mainly here have come up to us and been like, I didn't realize you could do that in improv. And for me and Yelena, we're like, you can do whatever the fuck you want in improv. Like, that's the fun part is, like, it doesn't have to be a scene. Like, you can make a bird out of your hands and fly it around the stage for 10 minutes. If you're interested and excited by that, fucking do it. I don't know. So, yeah, I think we came down here with kind of the mindset of, like, this is what we love to do. We're going to keep doing this. And if people like it, awesome. And I think that's why we've been surprised is because we weren't aiming towards being liked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has been a beautiful and very humbling reaction, not like a goal.
Yeah. Well said.
It's also been helpful for me personally with my marriage because my wife wants to support me, but she doesn't always want to come see the shows before my shows. And now she's huge dog of the bay. I mean, she screams, laughs. I can hear her. She screams when you two are going. And it's like, what? And that makes me really happy. And I love that. I love that her and I, it's like we found a new band together. I don't know. It's a weird way to say it. But like, you know, she likes her music and I like my music typically. But like with you two, it's like, we both like found you at the same time. Literally, Jamie thinks I'm losing my mind. I kind of am. And it's really fun. It's fun to share that with my wife because all I do is improv. She doesn't want to talk about improv anymore. That's all she hears about. So it is fun to be like, oh, they okay, yeah, let's go. Let's go to the show tonight. I want to see them. Yeah.
That's very sweet.
Good to know that the weight of your marriage is on our backs.
It really depends on you, too.
That's what I wanted.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Because the park is what's driving a wedge between my wife and I. So, so it's up to Doc of the Bay to bring us back.
Got it.
Got it. I think challenge the tension accepted. Is where it lies. I think that's good is the tension. You that's need right. a wedge and
yeah, not everything's black together. And white. So
Jamie, help me.
Well, I would love to do like a back-to-back Dock of the Bay Park show. Just because I think we're both similarly situated in kind of our intellectual approaches to this kind of work, but also very different styles, which I think could be fun to just put up next to each other for an audience to experience. We should make it happen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would love that. Yeah. Yulian and I went to one of your shows and it did feel a little bit like watching us, but in a different font. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like the same body, but different fonts.
Yeah.
Like you guys are coming at it from maybe a different way, but like, yeah, it feels like we are kind of kindred spirits.
Is that a fiction writer joke? Do you do a little font jokes?
Yeah, my whole repertoire is font. Actually, the whole reason I'm in a duo is so that I can make copywriter jokes on stage. It's really working out for me. Yeah, you're just a vessel for my copywriter jokes, Celia.
That's fine.
How many more shows do we have on this run?
Three more shows. Three more shows.
Okay, so people still have time to go catch us on some Mondays in the park on the other Mondays. I'm excited to say, and you know, who knows when people are listening to this, but on November 6th, I'm going to be live directing the park, which is something I've never done before. And I'm really excited. I'm really honored. Every now and then, these guys throw me a bone and they let me come in and experiment with them. So I'm really thrilled. Sam, any thoughts on that? Any first remarks about that?
I can't wait for Jamie to tell you no on stage.
Oh, I will fight. We might get into a physical altercation because I'm the director. So
yeah. Well, that's the thing. Chris and I get into a fight and then Liam has to break us up and he becomes the director. And it just keeps cycling through. You see?
Wow. It's
just...
Beautiful. I love that you pre-write this before you hit the stage.
That's really cool.
I've been working on it for a while. Yeah. But now, Chris, would that be considered still a duo show or does it now become a trio? Just you have the highest status role in the room.
That's a great question.
It's a trio. He's a performer.
Okay, boom, done.
All right.
All right.
Love a definitive answer.
Yeah.
Same.
Thank you both. I'm really gonna judge myself for this particular episode. And
please don't.
Sam and okay. Jamie said I should. Well, you two are saying I shouldn't. Yep. Yep. But what are you gonna do? I gotta just speak from the heart. I gotta just be open and honest. Anything would you you guys have you have an Instagram, a shared Instagram, a team? What's at Dock of the Bay?
Dock of the Bay Improv.
Dock of the Bay Improv. Anything else the listeners should know?
Yeah.
Come see our West Side show. It's a good hour. Heyday's great.
Yes. We love Heyday.
We're big fans. We like playing in front of you and watching you afterwards. It's very pleasant to do a set and then get to watch a good set afterwards.
Mm-hmm. That is really nice.
It's pleasant.
Jamie, what do you say? That's it, Sam? We done?
I mean, you said some really nice things about Dock of the Bay. And then like you heaped a lot of praise on Jamie. And I haven't been able to say, like, I appreciate that you said that. So is there anything for me?
Sam, really quick, you're teaching a couple of workshops, is that right?
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. I've been thinking about a concept called language games for a while and been talking with Jamie about it. And I'll be doing a series of workshops here in Philadelphia. They're pay what you will, Thursdays.
That's the part I wanted to talk about. And we're going to end this. We're going to wrap this up here.
No. What? This is it.
What? As a matter of fact, it's not only pay what you want. Wasn't there the suggested was very, very low? Am I mistaken?
Yeah. I mean, I suggested like $5 to $10. I mean, honestly, this is a workshop for me. I've been thinking about this stuff and actually a lot of our conversation, I could tie back into it. You know, John Davison, when I took a workshop with him, talked about world creation games. Those are a kind of language game. There's also like theatrical games, which is a little bit like the gestures and physicality that we're talking about. And like, why are those theatrical games that are really tangible and we see and aren't like part of this fictional world so engaging when they're authentic? And then why does like the world creation stuff sometimes feel really thin if it's just like labeling the who, what, where, right? And so I just need to get a bunch of people into a room so that we can run a bunch of exercises and really kind of pull it apart from that perspective and sort of say like, okay, like what happens when you're doing this kind of language game and someone else is playing a different one? Or what happens when we put two or three language games from these different categories on top of each other? Because a lot of these improv exercises are really kind of focused on one specific kind of language game. And then these really full shows kind of emerge and we get this play between a lot of different ones. So yeah, people should fly out from LA. Come be part of
it. Makes sense that a very good student would be a very good teacher. So I'm looking forward to this for you. And I think, I hope it catches fire because you're wonderful. And Jamie, clown cardio?
Clown cardio all day, every day, baby.
Oh, you got to talk about this every time. I know we're done. But just like every time I see a post for clown cardio, I'm like, this idea is so simple and it's so brilliant. I can't wait till you make so much money that you don't want to do this with us anymore.
I'll always do this. Yeah, Sunday mornings and Thursday evenings continuously starting in November.
Thank you again for being here, Dock of the Bay.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Please end this, Jamie.